Doctors Without Borders works in areas torn by conflict around the world, places other aid groups find too dangerous. Rebecca Ullman and Erlyn Feil are two Northwest women who work with Doctors Without Borders to help victims of sexual violence in conflict regions. Ullman is a midwife from Anacortes, and Feil is a midwife from Portland, Oregon. Feil told Ross Reynolds what she means by the term sexual violence.
There can be child marriage. There's female genital mutilation. There's intimate partner violence, which can be marital rape or domestic violence, which is physical violence. But most of what we are concentrating on as Doctors Without Borders is post-rape care.
How has your experience been working in developing nations, similar or different from your work in what you did back here in the United States when it comes to sexual violence?
Very different to be overseas than in Portland. There's a lot of services that you can refer women to. There's good counseling. There's good medical care. I think that we speak a bit more about sexual violence in our communities here at home. And in the field, it can be really unsafe for women to come forward. It can also be challenging for them to just even enter a clinic. It could take days to travel. We don't often advertise that we have sexual violence services.
Why is there that sensitivity over even saying that you're offering these services?
Sometimes it's sensitive because the perpetrators might be politically affiliated in a certain way or related to the military, and that can make it more dangerous for the women to come in.
And Rebecca, how about with you? How were the experiences you had helping women who've been experiencing sexual violence here in the United States compared to the places you've worked?
I've worked with Doctors Without Borders in Ivory Coast, Laos, South Sudan, and then most recently in Nepal. I think the biggest difference between working with survivors of sexual violence in the United States versus overseas is the access to care. Women in the United States have options for care, whereas in the places I've worked in, Doctors Without Borders are places that are oftentimes in disarray because of conflict, natural disasters such as in Nepal. And one of the things that happens in those situations is that any services that might have been offered are no longer offered because the infrastructure for healthcare is often decimated along with many other functions in the society. And at the same time, we often see an escalation in numbers of people who experience sexual violence, and the combination of fewer services and the escalating numbers and then the disarray of society makes for the situation to be quite dire.
We know, and I think it's pretty easy to imagine, that in a case of conflict, the level of violence for everyone goes up, especially for women, because they are more displaced. There's more likely to be a refugee camp. They're more likely to be left behind because the men are off fighting in the conflict. But we also see much higher rates of violence towards women in post-conflict. So the years following a disaster of some kind, the levels as people kind of start to come back together and rebuild their lives often go up.
What are you able to do for women who've experienced sexual violence, Rebecca?
There, of course, are physical ramifications of having sexual violence. So physical care is extremely important. It can be lacerations, cuts, it can be bruising, there can be internal damage. And sometimes the physical consequences of sexual violence are to the point where someone might need surgery. Then there is the treatment of sexually transmitted infections, and that includes infections such as syphilis, chlamydia, trichomonas, can be HIV, AIDS. The third thing, then, for women and girls past the menstrual age would be also prevention of pregnancy, if women ask for termination of pregnancy, to offer that service as well. And then the fourth thing, of course, is psychological care. That is important immediately as well as months and years after.
Erlyn, how about those psychological aspects that women are dealing with?
We train our staff, also to provide the medical care, but also to provide psychological services. So it's really basic counseling techniques, reminding women if they're coming in for a sexual assault case that what happened wasn't their fault. And there are a lot of studies that show that just by coming in and telling your story to someone who is listening to you, that the mental health improvement will last for even a couple of years.
When they leave your clinics, are they right back in the situation that's perilous for them and subject to more sexual violence?
Sometimes. So I spent about 9 months working in Papua New Guinea. And in Papua New Guinea, violence is pretty much an epidemic. Huge, huge numbers of intimate partner violence, so what we often refer to here as domestic violence, but also a really high rate of sexual violence and incest.
That sounds like it'd be hard, Rebecca, to deal with these things, and then all of a sudden these people are going right back into the same situation that sent them to your clinic in the first place.
That's very, very difficult. And oftentimes the not knowing after people leave can be quite haunting. I have pictures I carry in my mind of women I've seen, I've met once or twice, and then I don't know what happens to them.
You're in very dangerous places, as evidenced by the recent bombing of a Doctors Without Borders clinic that killed Doctors Without Borders personnel. How about your personal safety?
I worry about it. Some areas where we work are safer than others. And when I was in Papua New Guinea, I lived in Port Moresby, which is one of the most violent cities in the world. Yeah, it can be nerve-wracking, and it can make coming home hard.
Rebecca, how about you? I mean, are you also feeling as though you're in a danger zone when you're there doing this work? And how do you deal with that?
Sometimes. Similar to Erlin, I've been in South Sudan as well as in Ivory Coast. And so when I come home, backfiring cars will bother me. I went to a game at Seattle Stadium where there was fireworks after I'd been in South Sudan, and it was I just wanted to leave because it reminded me of gunshot wounds in South Sudan.
Why do you do it? I mean, you could probably have much less tension and be performing terrific work if you were a midwife here in the Northwest.
I do it because 800 women a day die from preventive difficulties in childbirth. And if you add to that the numbers of people who experience gender-based violence, the numbers are even more staggering. And midwives are positioned well to be able to share skills that literally save women's lives.
We've been talking about this kind of in general terms. I wonder if you each could tell a story about a woman you worked with that kind of illustrates the problems and maybe what you were able to do to help.
I was living and working on the border of Somalia in Ethiopia. And I woke up in the middle of the night to hearing a woman screaming and knew why she was screaming. There's this sound and this intuition and this feeling. And we were not in a position where we could go outside of the compound at night to see what was actually happening or to provide any support. But the next day, I was asked if I would go to the police station. And there I encountered one of my own staff. And she had been assaulted, her and her daughter and her son, by a man who was a part of the military and had been consuming a lot of alcohol and broke into her house. And she was put in prison in part for her own safety, but also in part because of the conflict that was occurring between different militia groups. It was not by any means the first encounter of sexual violence that I've had, and it won't be the last patient, obviously, but there was really something profound about having to treat one of my own staff members and having had the experience of hearing her assault, and also treating her daughter and her son. But what was really, I think, really meaningful out of this trauma is that she became a really big advocate in her community, and she was became a part of the community outreach team. So she would go and provide education sessions to the children, to the women, to the men, saying that these are the consequences of violence. This is what happens when women are raped.
Erlyn File is a midwife from Portland, Oregon. You also heard Rebecca Ullman, a midwife from Anacortes. They both help victims of sexual violence for Doctors Without Borders. They talked with Ross Reynolds.